Continues in praising our Lord. Let's stand and sing number 425. He keeps me singing.
Still, in all of the tears and flow. Village Church. I'm proud and thankful to be able to be here. I'm thankful for everybody that could be here this morning themselves. Way of announcements this morning, there's several on the back of the bulletin. The Hope House taking up the pillow donations. The Belize trip will be taking place around the end of July. If you're interested in going on this trip, see Mrs. Vaughn. Also, immediate need for workshop leaders for Children's Sunday School. See John Franklin if you're interested. Also, there's February 28th through April 3rd. MBOC present a discussion of chronic diseases. You may invite interested friends and family to attend. There is no charge. Breakfast will be served. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. March the 8th, I think there's a bereavement meal group meeting in the fellowship hall after the morning service this morning. On March 22nd, taco lunch with a warm benefit after the morning service. Also, Ms. Tammy asked me to announce there's still several kids' numbers available out there for the Wanda-versathon, which is next Sunday night. And if you haven't sponsored a child, please do so before you leave today. As of last Sunday, the Wanda kids have pledged to recite 362 verses. Tammy and Wang are still needing people to be listeners next Sunday night. Please be willing to help out and be in prayer for that. If you're willing to get with Tammy and Wayne, I'm sure they could use your help. And also, just a reminder, the Fuller family funeral service request to be at the funeral home in the morning at 10:30, going procession to the graveside at 11, and be, I believe it's called Lawson Confederate Cemetery, which will be in Snowflake. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started with our service. Dear Lord, our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for each and every person that's here this morning, Lord. We ask you to be with our pastor this morning as he brings the message. Be with him and his family, Lord. We ask you to go with us as we go home today, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. And most of all, thank you for your son. We love you and appreciate you. In Jesus' holy, precious name, amen.
Amen.
Let's stand, if you're able, to sing one more time, the Lord, our offertory hymn number 15, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Thank you.
If you would, this morning we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Book of Matthew, chapter 7. And it is good to see all of you today. I'm thankful that you come out. They're telling us the weather's supposed to warm up, but it sure didn't feel like it this morning. It was a hard frost today. But I'm thankful that the Lord's brought us through another week and given us an opportunity to worship Him again. We'll be in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I ask y'all to pray for me today. I've already buttoned up my shirt wrong twice and had to get caught. I got called out in Sunday school, so I had to go fix it. Then I go put my jacket on, and my wife tells me I've put my jacket on wrong, and she had to fix it then. So I'm just a little bit out of kilter this morning. But do we have any words of praise, any word of testimony today? Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Danny. Anyone else? Good. Amen. It's good to have you back, sister. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Anyone else today? We do want to continue to pray for the family of Ms. Fuller. It's kindly a shock, kind of come out of nowhere. She'd been kind of getting up and doing better. And then Friday morning, the Lord called her home to glory. So we want to continue to pray for them, continue to pray for the Arrington family and all those that's lost someone. But I'm gonna ask you, if you would, to stand with me in the honor of God's Word today. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to focus on two verses, 13 and 14. But before we do, I'm gonna ask you to turn around and tell somebody it's good to see them and that you love them this morning. Good to see you. As you're heading back to your seat, I forgot to tell Brother JC, but tonight we'll be having a council meeting, a church council meeting after service tonight, and we'll do our best to get you out of there quick. But also don't forget, immediately after church today, there's going to be a bereavement committee meeting as well. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Are you there? All right. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be One Way or the Other. One Way or the Other. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the praises that's been lifted up, Heavenly Father, Lord. I'm thankful that your Spirit has been here already through Sunday school and through song service. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And I invite you, person of the Holy Spirit, to be in our midst today, God, and that you'll just take control of your Word. You'll take control by your wisdom through the Holy Ghost, and you'll guide us in truth and lead us in wisdom. Heavenly Father, Lord, I confess to you my inability and my sin. And I pray, Lord, that even for those that are watching over Facebook today, that God, you'll bless them, that your hand will be upon them, and that you'll even move in their midst today as well. God, we do pray for the Fuller family this morning, asking you to give them peace. And it's Jesus' name again we ask you, Holy Spirit, to be here. Amen and amen. This passage that we read this morning is one that probably most of you have heard. You've probably had it in Sunday school. You've probably heard preachers preach on it all your life. And you've probably heard them preach it better than I'm going to this morning. But the idea, these two verses come from probably the most well-known of all of Christ's sermons. It's the Sermon on the Mount. in this message, which was probably preached on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. It is the longest of Jesus' recorded sermons. It goes from Matthew chapter 5 and goes all the way through chapter 8. It ends where chapter 8 begins. And then there's a short version for those of us the Sermon on the Mount for Dummies. You know, Luke did that one, and he's got it over there in Luke 6, verses 20 through 19. But this is the sermon where we find such well-known passages as the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Then Christ goes on and he begins to deal with murder. He deals with adultery. What he does is he carries it more from the physical practice of murder and adultery, and he carries it to the heart's intent. He says, if you look on someone with lust in your heart, then you've already committed adultery. And if you call someone a fool or run down their reputation, then you're guilty of murder. And then he goes on to say that he did not come to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill it. And praise God, that's what he does for us. He is the fulfillment of the law, so that we who cannot fulfill the law are given, or he has passed on his relationship with the Father to us. He goes on, he talks about charity, he talks about wealth, he talks about false teachers. He even goes on, you remember, he talks about the two men that build on different foundations. One built upon sand, the other built upon the rock. And when the storms came, the one that was built on the sand faded away, but the one that was built on the rock was able to endure and last in the midst of the storms. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, we even have what is called the Golden Rule. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. "So whatsoever you wish that others would do to you also, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets of God." So we see that in this sermon, and man, if you think I'm long-winded, imagine being there and he covered all that in one sermon. I mean, he's going through a lot of them. But in this sermon, we find this short little passage of Scripture. And we know it, and it's probably as well known as any of the parables that Christ has taught. And I think that sometimes because we know these parables, we'll just read over them at a glance. And we won't stop and take time to dig up and see what God would have for us. In these two verses, if we'll take them to heart, we'll confirm who we are in Christ Jesus. We'll confirm our relationship with Him. But it will also drive us to be a better brother or a better sister in the Lord Jesus Christ and a better witness to the world around us. Listen again, Adam. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go therein, thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I want you to think about a few things this morning before we get into our sermon. Think about that this fact is true, that every person in this place today and every person that has ever lived on this earth are walking a journey. The journey is sometimes called life, and in it we determine who we are. We determine the job that we're going to do. We determine who we're going to travel with and the legacy that we leave behind us. You know, when we die and we are at our funeral, the common saying is that I'm not here to preach or build them up or to preach them into heaven or out of hell, because they've already preached their funeral. We've already made our legacy as we go along this earthly and physical journey. But however, we are more importantly on a spiritual journey. And each one of us are learning, and we're pressing on to what's going to happen after this life. What's going to happen when we pass from this body and we move on into another body. And I want you to think about this morning. It doesn't matter where in the world you look. I mean, you can think about India, you can go to Egypt, you can go to Arabia, you can go to the Native Americans, or you can go to Britain. But all of those cultures, if you look in them and you see the different type of religions, all of them have the desire to live on after this life. God has instilled in us as His creation the desire to live on after we pass through this. Just like He gave us the trees and the air and the water, we have a need for all of that. So He provided that need so that it could be met. Think about it. If you're an Egyptian, they have at least one deity and a spiritual place of pleasure and rest, and also a place of darkness and pain. In Egyptian lore, Osiris is the main god. And then there's Anubis, the guardian of death, hell, and the grave. Then in the Hindu, it is Ganesha. In Islam, it's Allah. With the Native Americans, it's the great spirits. And then with us today, we have the truth of the Scripture. But you see how that in every occasion, in every event, the idea of living on is instilled in us. So today, yes, we're living a physical journey, but we're also living a spiritual journey. And in that, the choices that we make and the decisions that we follow through with, we are shaping and affecting our eternal destination every day. So this morning, I want you to think about the idea of where will I spend eternity? What am I laying up for the other side? In this passage, we see a lot of twos as we talk about one way or the other. The first thing that we need to recognize before we get into the gate or before we get into the path or we get into the people, the first thing we've got to know is that there are two destinations. There's two destinations. Look, it says that there is a way that leads to destruction and there is a way that leads unto life. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you get up in the morning, wash yourself, get yourself prettied up, and jump in the car, and you really don't know where you're going? You just say, I'm going to get in the car, and I'm going to start driving, and wherever I wind up, that's where I'm going to wind up. Now, I will admit, and my wife will tell you, I do that. I get in the car, and I ain't got nowhere to go, but I'll turn on the radio and just listen and ride around. But that is very few and far between. I mean, think about it. If we're going somewhere, think about what we'll do. Think about the preparations for the journey. We'll go to Google Maps and we'll find the quickest route to our destination. We'll call ahead and we'll reserve a room for the duration of the time that we're going to stay. My wife is fell in love with Groupon now. She wants to find all the deals that she can, so she goes on that. So when she goes to Disney World or when she goes to Gatlinburg, she's going to save money. She told me last week she came back with more than she left with. Man alive, ain't that awesome? My wife can go on vacation and bring back more money. That's my sugar mama right there, boy. I don't know, she's Houdini. I don't know how she does. But think about it. Think about it. In our earthly journey, we make plans for our destination. But think about this. Think about this. When it comes to the spiritual journey, we push that as far down the line as we can. Don't we? I don't want to think about it. And I tell you what, when you're going into the hospital and they say, do you got a living will and all that stuff, that thing gets in your head and you, I don't care if they just putting you down to pull a tooth. The mind in your head, you're thinking about it. But there's people, I mean, that have a desire to live on. But yet they'll say, when I get to my deathbed, then I'll make plans for my eternal destination. Then I'll make plans to what I'll do. But if you notice in the Scripture, all throughout the Scripture, there are only two destinations. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live. Jeremiah 21:8. And to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you a way of life and a way of death. Same thing is true with our eternal destination. There's heaven and there's hell. Listen what he said there about the two destinations. He said that there is a place, a destination of destruction. If you read up and you look in the Greek on what the word destruction means, it means to be destroyed and brought to utter ruin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 19. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, eternal destroyed and total ruin away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Revelations 20:14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name is not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I can only imagine. Now think about it. That's the reservation book for eternity. The book of life. And today you can make a reservation for eternity if you've not already. But listen, it says that there's a place of destruction to be destroyed, be brought to utter ruin. Yesterday I was watching something on TV and it was talking about the volcanoes. And it would show the lava that runs down and how if one went off into a metropolis type area that it would be devastating. And all I can think about is I think about Hades and hell and the lake of fire. Can you imagine it being that red hot molten lava? And for eternity, that's where we spend our life. Listen, Mark chapter 9, verse 48, it says, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, there'll be an eternal consciousness, an eternal feeling. Let me tell you this. The Bible says over in the book of Genesis that human beings, after God formed us with His very own hands, that other than any other animal, He said that He breathed His life, the pneumas, into us. He breathed part of Himself into us. And from that moment on, we became a living soul. This body right here, it's just a vessel. It's just a tool to get us through this life. The soul is who we are. And that soul is going to live on somewhere. It's either going to live on in heaven or it's going to live on in hell where there's consciousness, feeling. Think about that. It says where the worm dies not, where there is eternal decay that cannot be fixed, cannot be healed. And forever and ever and ever, the Bible says that the smoke of the torment will billow up. Oh, but praise God, there's two destinations. And that destination doesn't have to be your destination today. Think about it. He says, yes, there is a way that leads unto destruction. But then He says, there is a place that leads unto life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, it said, and these things will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. If you look up the term or the idea of eternal life, it means to be in a place of prosperity, to be in a place of bounty, to be in a place of favor and blessings in every aspect of your life. And it's contrasted with the curse of the place of destruction. It is the complete opposite, where there is death and decay and separation from God. In heaven, the Bible says that we will be alive and we'll be with God and we'll have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that our faith will end inside, and everything that we've believed we will actually touch with our own hands. The Bible goes on to say that it cannot be earned. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we can do to earn eternal life. There's nothing that we can do to be in that place of prosperity and bounty and favor and blessing. But think about it. It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love Him. And right there, Paul is quoting from Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Think about it. The Bible says there's going to be mansions. And those mansions, in that mansion, I'm going to have my own place to live in. The Bible says that there's going to be gates of pearl and seven foundations of different types of stones. It says that there's a street made purely of gold, translucent gold because it's so pure. The Bible says that there's a rainbow that proceeds from the throne of God. And it goes on to say that there'll be no need for any fake lighting. There'll be no need for a sun, because the sun, S-O-N, is going to be the light of that. I mean, think about that and look at the difference today. That Jesus, and again, we got to recognize that this is Jesus Himself speaking. First-hand knowledge of where it comes. He was a witness of paradise. And He says, there's a way that leads to destruction, of ruin, eternal separation, eternal consciousness and feeling, and decay and death. But on the other side, there's a place of life in that eternal, a place of joy. The Bible says that there'll be no more tears. Maybe one time there'll be tears, but after that, He's going to wipe every tear away from our eyes. And then the Bible goes on to say, you know, we talked about the mansions, the gates, the streets, but also there's our loved ones. Those that have gone on. The Bible says that we're to lay up our treasures in heaven. And the older I get, the more I see that that's my family, my friends. It makes heaven sweeter, but the sweetest thing, what did we sing a while ago? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. So let me ask you today, on this journey, where is your destination pointing right now? If you died today, where would you spend eternity? Would it be in destruction, total and utter ruin? Or will it be in a place of prosperity and bounty, favor and blessing, the place of eternal life? The next thing I want you to look at is the Bible says that there's two gates. Jesus Himself says that there's two gates. Think about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. If you look at the term wide, this is thy entrance into a specific place. It's the entrance into a life that's filled with selfishness. A life that's filled with sin. A life that is filled with rebellion against our Creator. It's the way of the world. The word wide, it means spacious, open, plenty of room for you. Hey, I've only flew on a plane twice in my life. But when I went to the gate, you know, the board, you could have one carry-on baggage. And anything after that, you had to check it. And I'm a country boy, and I don't like nobody taking my stuff when I don't know where they're taking my stuff. But they promised it would be there when we got to the other side. But see, there was not enough room. Even in that walkway, and then when you get in the plane, I mean, them things above your head's tiny. But you know what? If it was a little wider and a little deeper, I could have carried my bag on there. Guess what? At the wide gate, you don't have to check your luggage. You don't have to leave your baggage. You can just take it right on with you. Whatever you like, whatever your sin is, load it up, bring it with you. We don't care. It don't matter what you prefer. Because, hey, we're the wide gate. It's easy to walk in. It's easy to come in. If you want to hate people, if you want to hold unforgiveness in your heart, so be it. You have that right on the wide gate. If you want to believe that a dolphin is a supreme being, you can do it. If you want to believe that there is no heaven and there is no hell, you can do it. But one way or the other, you're going to wind up in a place of destruction or either in a place of eternal life. But I want you to think about it. The wide gate. We've all got luggage. Buggage and I don't know, that just got caught up. But we've all got baggage. We've all got things that we don't need to be holding on to, but we like them. And you know what? Sometimes we're going to take them with us in the wide gate. But remember, The choices that we are making in this journey are going to affect us at the end of the journey. So there's the wide gate. Come as you are, bring all you want. The entrance is open. Matter of fact, it's so wide, we don't have to make a choice when we enter it. The Bible says that we entered it because we're human alone. The Bible says we're under the curse of sin, in an environment of sin, where we like to sin. The Bible says that we're all on a journey. So let me ask you today, what gate are you in? There's the wide one. Don't really have to make any decision of getting in that entrance. You can believe, you can bring all the luggage you want to bring. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But then Jesus tells us something else. He says that there is a narrow gate. The idea here is that the starting point, unlike the wide gate that we're about to travel, it means that it is straight or it is narrow, meaning that it is precise. And that there's limited access in this gate. I think about when you go through those metal detectors. Y'all got one up at the courthouse. You know what? There ain't much room for anything else. They make you take off your hat. You got to take off your belt, your keys, your knife. If you got a knife, they make you take that back out. You know why? Because in that metal detector, you got to be precise. It's very narrow. But if you get through that, you got pretty good access once you get through that. And it's completely different. And I know this is not politically correct in our day because we believe in whatever you believe, just take it. Just believe it. But see, we're not the one. I'm not the one that's saying that the gate, the narrow gate, has to be precise. And it has to be limited. But it is Jesus who says that. In John chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, it says, "But Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door to the sheep gate," or to the sheepfold. Verse 9 says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture." Then the apostle Peter confirms the same thing, where Jesus said that He is the gate. The Apostle Peter in Acts 4, verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no other, for there is one name, there is no other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved." You see, ain't no room for our baggage. Ain't no room for us to believe what we want to. You see, the fact where in the other one you can walk through that gate with pride. You can walk through that gate thinking you're a big man or you're a special girl. You can bring all your luggage and baggage. But at the straight gate, you have to be precise. So precise. Listen how it happens at the straight gate. Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. And He said, "Truly I say unto you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You can just think about it. We have to humble ourselves, bow down like a child would to an adult, and say, "You are God and I am not. You are holy and I am not. You are righteous and I am sinful." You see, there's a completely different in the destination. There's a complete difference in the entrances. But then there's also a complete difference in the road. There's a complete difference in the road. Notice what He says. And again, there's only two. There's only two. Not many, which the world's trying to tell us today. Only two. Notice He says, there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. The two ways are much like the gates. except where the gates focused on the entering in, access, how to get inside. The way is the lifestyle after you enter. The way that you proceed. Now the broad way, remember, we're living in a time of tolerance, of progressive, of political correction. You see, that's what those on the wide road, the broad road, that's what they believe. They believe all life, any lifestyle is acceptable. You want to be a liar? Be a liar. You want to be a cheat? Be a cheat. You want to cheat on your wife? You want to run around on your husband? Do it. You want to shack up and live outside in sin, sexual immorality? That's the thing to do. You want to be a homosexual? Be a homosexual. Matter of fact, if you don't want to be a man or a woman, just say whatever you want and we'll accept it. That's what's progressive. That's what being passed off. You see, on the broad way, there are no road signs of caution. There are no safety guards on the side. You just go as fast and go as far as you want to. You can switch lanes at any time. There's many people who love this way. Matter of fact, I'd say that most of us at some point in our life, we love the broad way. The Bible says, sin is fun for a season. If we didn't like sin, we wouldn't sin. But we enjoy it. It makes us feel good. We make ourselves on the wide road as we're living and we're traveling down that path on the broad, open, expansive way. We make ourselves the supreme figure. We do things to make ourselves feel better. We let our emotions dictate us. And you know what? I'm a grown man. Or I'm a grown woman. I don't have to answer to nobody. And we make ourselves the king of our heart. As I said before, the progressives and the open-minded liberals, they'll say, look at those old rednecks and look at those old superstitious people. Who are they to think that they should push their beliefs on us? The deplorable. The dummies. And they'll tolerate everything but. See, that's on the wide way. And you know what else happened on the wide way? You'll think that everything's free. You'll think there's no price to be paid. There's no debt that you acquire. But I think about the suicide. I think about Amy Winehouse, Chris Farley, all those movie stars. I can't say that they weren't saved, but I can tell you so many of them were living that life on a wide and fast lane. But you see, there comes a day of payment. And you know what? Lots of times, when we're on that broad way, before we ever get to the destination, we break down. We have mental issues, physical issues, and all those people on the broad way that were traveling with you no longer have time to slow down. They keep on going. And only those that love you truly will be there with you. You see, the broad way that has a broad gate. Bring whatever you want to with you. Leads to an eternal hell. destruction and ruin. But praise God, remember there's two. There's two roads. Just as there's two gates. Notice it says that there is a narrow way. So just as the gate is precise and limited, the entrance, only one name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. On the narrow way, it has to be precise as well. Listen, Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. It says, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells within my members." You know what he's saying? He's saying, on this narrow way, I'm in a fight. I'm struggling and I'm fighting. I want to live for the Lord. I want to do His will. But yet I've got this flesh on me. I've got these emotions that I'm fighting with and I'm battling with. Yes, you're going to find that on the narrow way. You see, the narrow way takes discipline. You say, "Brian, you're talking about earning your salvation." No, I'm not. I'm talking about living the life that the gate has provided for us. Then not only do we fight against ourselves, not only does it take a willingness to endure against ourselves, the Bible tells us that we have another enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober-minded and be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." You see, it takes diligence on the narrow way. You've got to be watching for the enemy who, as a lion, is waiting for you to stumble, waiting to find a place of weakness. And it will eat you up there. We see that there's got to be an endurance. There's got to be a commitment. But then there also has to be determination and discipline on the narrow way. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You see, we have to submit to Jesus. We have to surrender authority to the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 9, verse 27, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, "I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." You see, it takes the narrow way. It's precise. It's limited. You've got to be willing to fight. You've got to be diligent. You've got to be determined. You've got to be disciplined. But praise God, on the narrow way, you're never alone. You're never alone. Listen, Matthew 28, verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all that I command you, and behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." Jesus said, on the narrow way, coming through the narrow gate, "I'm going to always be there. I will always be with you. You don't have to worry about traveling alone." Matter of fact, He says, "I'm going before you and I'm walking with you." But listen, not only that, listen what He says. John 16, 13, He says, "When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are coming." We have Jesus who said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." We have the Holy Spirit that says, when you accept me as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to come and live within you and I will abide with you as the paraclete, the one that upholds. When you don't feel like you can go anymore, He's there. He's walking. He's going. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Keep watch over yourself, lest you too be tempted. But bear one another's burdens, for so fulfill the law of Christ." You see, we have Jesus that says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." We have the Holy Spirit that says, I'll live in you as a seal and as an encourager and a guide. And then also there's the brothers and sisters of Christ. You call, they'll come. They'll do what they can. Praise God, I'm thankful for people like that. That's been there. I listened to a sermon by Evie Hill on this topic. And believe you me, I didn't even try to do his outline because I could not do it justice. But he said there was one time him and his wife were traveling and he had put $2 or $3 worth of gas in his car. And they were going up and down and around on these mountains. And then all of a sudden it was chick, 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 chick. And she said, no, you didn't, Evie. And they pulled off on the side of the road and he'd run out of gas. He said it was dark, it was nighttime. And he thought, I'm gonna have to walk. And then all of a sudden, behind him, pulled up some lights. And you gotta remember now, Mr. Evie Hill was in the time of the more hippie time. And he was a black man. And pulled up behind him, he said, some hippie looking white fellas. And they said, can we help you? And he said, well, if you don't mind, I need some gas. They said, well, we've got a gas station right down the road. We'll take you there. They took him down there, got him some gas. He'd come back. And he said, how much do I owe you? They said, you don't owe us nothing. He said, because we've learned on this highway that there's many times that people don't recognize that there's not pit stops along the way and they run out of gas. And me and my friend, we just like to ride up and down looking to help someone. You see, that's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus Christ. That's our brothers and sisters in Christ. So you see that even the lifestyle is different. See, the gate is narrow or either it's wide. It's either bring everything you want or either be willing to humble yourself. The lifestyle is troubling. The lifestyle can be difficult. But praise God, there's people that's on that cares about us. And hey, the next destination is awesome. But then the last thing is this. There's two destinations. There's two gates. There's two ways. And then there's two types of people. Those that came through the wide gate on the broad way that leads to destruction. And notice what it says. And many, many there be that find it. This group is in love with the world and in love with themselves. They live defiant lifestyles, or some of them may live moral lifestyles, but they just say, I'm the one that makes these decisions. It boils down to two points, though, about this type of people. These people will not submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not let Him be the boss or the Lord. And there are many. Listen, the word many means a great number, an extensive quantity that are on this road that ultimately will end in destruction. Destroyed and total ruin. Matthew 7:22-23. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Many. And a crowd decides, you know, there's probably more than one or two that are on the wide way, made up your own rules. Might have took a Jesus, might have took some God and made Him look like you, little G, and stamped Jesus on Him. And instead of living for Him, you've made Him look like you. He accepts your sins. He accepts your unforgiveness. You and Jesus got a good thing going. But then there is the other way. Those that have come through the straight gate on the narrow way, which leads to life eternal. And it says there are few that find it. Those that are on this road have come to an understanding that they have broken God's law. Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short. They understand that there's nothing they can do in and of themselves to make it right. But they also have heard the voice of the Father saying that Jesus has come to provide access, to be the doorway to the Father and to eternal life. Romans 10:9-10. Because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. And you know what today? There's an open invitation. There's an open invitation to come to the gate. Walk through and travel on the narrow road. And know you're going to stumble and you're going to fall, but Jesus knew that before. And remember, He's there with you. He's going to pick you up and help you. You say, where's the open invitation? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now today, if you're hearing that call through the Holy Spirit, today is the day for you to be saved. But I want you to listen. He says, few, a small amount, a small quantity. You know what He's saying there? I believe that He's saying there's going to be more people that go on the broad way and travel the broad road and end up in destruction, hell for eternity, than there are those that'll go through the narrow gate on the straight way to life eternal. I'm going to ask our piano player and brother song leader to come. And I want you to think about these four things this morning. According to the words of Jesus Christ, not mine, but based on these two passages, these two verses, He says there's two gates. The narrow and precise gate, which is Him, or there is the wide and inclusive gate. Bring all your luggage, all your baggage, everything you got. He said that there's two ways to travel. A narrow path that requires discipline, endurance, and willingness. Or there's the broad way. Live how you want to. If it feels good, do it. Be your own God. Then He says there's two types of people. Those that come to Jesus and accepted His gift, and then those that have made their own rules. And then lastly, there are two destinations. He says that there is eternal life, a place of prosperity, bountiful blessings, favorable circumstances, mansions, brilliant gates, golden streets, loved ones that's gone on, and the very one that died for us. Or then there's destruction. The place of total ruin and devastation. A lake of fire. Consciousness, feeling, and never-ending decay. So let me ask you today. Are you on the narrow way? Or are you on the broad way? But more importantly, when Jesus comes again, we sang the song this morning, believe it or not, He's coming. And you're going to go one way or the other. So when Jesus comes again, will you be among the many or will you be among the few? Today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to accept Him. Be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. Maybe today I ask you to look at your life right now. In which way does your life seem to lean? More to the narrow or more to the broad? Are you living by your rules or are you living for Christ Jesus? Has there been a time where you've come to Jesus and said, I recognize that you're the only way. I recognize that you died for me and I need your forgiveness. Maybe today you've kindly strayed off the way. Yes, you've been saved. Yes, you know that you're right with God, but yet you've allowed self to resurrect. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and trespasses. Maybe today you need to become a member of Thomas Village, but whatever your need is, I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing a few verses and the altar is open for you today. Won't you come? Maybe you just want to have a time of prayer. I'll pray with you. One of our deacons will pray with you. Thank you, Sister Nancy and Brother Ken. It's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Do we have any words of praise or testimony before we go out? I challenge you just to ask the Lord Jesus, through the person of the Holy Spirit, to give you wisdom and let you focus on your path a little bit, just to see. Also, I want to invite you back tonight. We're beginning the love chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Also, after church tonight, we'll be having a church council meeting. But don't forget the benevolence, the bereavement committee meeting. That's going to be in the social hall, Sister Nancy, immediately following service. And also, I want to say this. If you think you're sick, stay at the house. All right? I think that'd be best for you, and I know it'd be best for me. So, anything else before we go? All right. Brother Otis Bowen, would you close us out in a word of prayer?